Hello and welcome to the Emerald City Video Podcast. We are a podcast about a bunch of people who used to work at a video store. Yes, as you can guess by that opening, actually probably almost nobody can guess by that opening, but I'm going to explain it. This is the second part of our two-night crossover event with Archie Digest, a Riverdale podcast. That is a podcast on which I am also a co-host. We usually talk about new episodes of Riverdale, which is the CW's Archie Comics drama. However, with no new episodes of Riverdale the last couple of weeks, we've been doing other stuff. And last night, Zach made his triumphant debut on the Archie Digest podcast while we talked about Deidre and Lainey Robitaille, which is a new Netflix movie we thought was really excellent, the basic thrust of it. Well, I'll get into that in a minute. Meanwhile, my co-host today is Zach Roberts.
Hello.
Everybody knows Zach if you listen to this show, because he is far and away the most common co-host that I've got. Usually,
not the most common, but most excellent. Come on now.
Oh, sorry.
Most triumphant.
There you go. Exactly. But, so we're here to talk about Deidre and Lainey Robitaille, but in a slightly different way than we did on Archie Digest. Notably, that is, we're going to do what we call a 5 for 5. And for anybody who's tuning in new and doesn't know what the heck a 5 for 5 is, it's very simple. When we worked at the video store, this was the, I wouldn't even say the early days of DVD, but it was the early-ish days of DVD, enough so that we had, you know, a couple of thousand VHS tapes in the building. And there was a deal going that if you rented old movies on VHS instead of new releases on VHS or anything on DVD, that you could get 5 movies for 5 days for $5. Eventually, that would evolve to, you know, be a little bit more money, and then to include DVD and blah, 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 blah. But for the sake of argument, we are going to pretend like the Emerald City Video 5 for 5 remains the same one that started when Chimney's Video was in that location before Emerald City ever moved in and never, ever changed.
Yes.
So instead of just reviewing Deidre and Lainey Robitaille, which we did last night on Archie Digest, and you can check that out at archiedigest.podbean.com or search Archie Digest, a Riverdale podcast on either Facebook or iTunes. Show's a lot of fun. I recommend it. I mean, being one of the hosts, I'm kind of biased. But you can listen to us actually reviewing that film and talking about it at some length on Archie Digest. Instead of doing that here, we're going to talk about if you liked Deidre and Lainey Robitaille, what are some similar movies, or maybe not necessarily similar, but movies with similar sensibilities that you would probably also enjoy? And the other kind of side of this equation that's kind of implicit in it is that if you haven't watched Deidre and Lainey Robitaille yet and you're listening to us first, then, yep, you know, if you dig all or some of the movies that we're going to talk about tonight, probably you'll enjoy Deidre and Lainey Robitaille. So in the spirit of video store employees telling you what you should or should not rent or give a try, this seems like a pretty good starting point for us. This is a thing that Zach and I do most of the time, usually when the rest of the larger Emerald City Video crew is on board. We just kind of get drunk and talk about one movie. But So this is a podcast that has a couple of different personalities. You're going to get to see the one that happens most often tonight. So, Zach, would you like to start? Because you actually, this was kind of your idea, even though I decided to hijack it and make this a crossover episode. You were very much the person who said, oh, it's kind of like this and it's kind of like that, and, you know, we could do a 5 for 5 on this. And I was like, why don't we?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's always, to me, that's always the best way to explain, you know, I mean, anytime, you know, whether it worked at a video store or just in general, like, you know, oh, you like this film, we need to go watch this film. So that's kind of the way that I've always, if I've written film reviews or whatever else, I've always talked about it. You're like, well, okay, so you've seen, like, let's start off, you've seen Raising Arizona. So if you like that kind of, like, you know, Coen Brothers comic sensibility, you will like Deidre and Lainey. Like, you will like this film. There's a very good chance you'll like this film. No promises. But, you know, I mean, the one of the first ones when we talked the other day that I kind of really thought about it was, you know, Raising Arizona. It's a, you know, hijinks go with, you know, it's a heist to some level. Obviously, Raising Arizona was a kidnapping, but, you know, things go wrong, and, you know, they're dealt with, whether they're intelligent people or not, they deal with people who are comically less intelligent or less kind of put together to try to actually defeat them, you know, which is a lot of themes of a lot of Coen Brothers films. I like one of the first things I think I said the other day on the other podcast with Deidre and Lainey was it reminded me of a Coen Brothers film a lot, like whether it even be, you know, Oh Brother, We're Out Thou, you know, there's a group of people, whether they're family or just a, you know, a group of people together, you know, going on basically going through an adventure, and it kind of, just the way it kind of jumped right in, jumped right into the storyline as well, which is, to me, something Coen Brothers seem to do a lot. Like, they don't go into family histories or anything like that. They just kind of jump right into the storyline, and then, you know, you kind of figure out people's personalities as they go along. You know, again, you know, it's a film that, both Raising Arizona and Deidre are films that kind of deal with I don't want to say a dark issue, but, like, you know, kind of a heavy issue. Like,
yeah.
Raising Arizona is a film about kidnapping a baby. Like, not really, you know, something that normally would be comical. And Deidre and Lainey is about, you know, a lot of, you know, you have to check back the last podcast, and we kind of really delved into the, you know, social political overhangings of the film that I'm sure that probably the writers probably are like, we'll just write these characters as they are and not, like, really deal with these political issues. But, you know, Raising Arizona deals with pretty heavy issues, but does it in such a comical way that you're like, you only kind of realize afterwards, like, holy crap, they kidnapped a baby. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, everyone's laughing, and, you know, everyone kind of deals with it pretty in a relaxed attitude.
Yeah, I mean, I will go into just a little bit, I meant to, and then got sidetracked trying to make sure I introduced you. The conceit of Deidre and Lainey Rob a Train is essentially that a trio of kids, all between, I'd say, 13 and 17 years old, who are the children of essentially a mom who works a whole lot of hours at a job that provides her very little in the way of money or security, and a dad who is nowhere to be seen. And the mom finds herself arrested, essentially after having a nervous breakdown. And the eldest daughter has to find a way to take care of her siblings. And the way that she chooses is to rob a train. Well, I'll leave the rest of it there so as not to go into too much spoilers. That's actually kind of unusual for the Emerald City Video Podcast, but because it was a new release movie and because Archie Digest is a very different sort of podcast, we went non-spoilery last night, and it actually worked really well. We still managed to get, you know, like 45 minutes of a reasonably intelligent talk out of it.
Not to delve into this, into Deidre, because we've already have, but I mean, like, to me, that's always a really good, that's a really good sign of usually a pretty good film,
yeah,
is that you can talk about the film pretty fully without spoiling things, because I feel like basically the bane of the Sixth Sense has been now that every film has to have some moment that the film hinges on so much. And then if you already know that moment or whatever, And, you know, I mean, it's obviously not for every film, but, you know, there's, God, it's like so hard to try to think of a film right now that, like, there's not like a, like, oh, if you know this part of the film before you walk into it, then it loses a small percentage, at least, of its,
yeah,
of its thing. Which is another bad thing. I love it. You know, most of my favorite, a lot of my favorite films are like that. I mean, fucking Fight Club, and, you know, I mean, like, that's, you know, that's a kind of a big thing on it. That's you know, but anyway, that's a sidetrack. Let's stay on the 5 for 5 as we always slide off of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, again, that's a pretty good indicator of the flavor of the show. But the last thing I will say before we get back into the 5 for 5 is that the reason we were talking about Deidre and Lainey Robitaille in particular on Archie Digest, which is, as I said, a Riverdale podcast and not a random movie podcast, is the fact that the main star, well, not the main star, because there's basically four people who can kind of share that, but the title lead and the first title lead, Deidre, is played by Ashley Murray, who plays Josie McCoy in Riverdale. Those who have been listening to Emerald City Video for a long time would know that our very first episode featured another film, which also featured Josie McCoy. Anybody who's tuning in to us for Riverdale goodness and likes what we're doing here, go all the way back to the very beginning of the Podbean page or the very beginning of the iTunes listing, and you'll find us talking about Star Wars Star Wars The Force Awakens and Josie and the Pussycats. On to the next thing. My next recommendation is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And this is a little bit kind of off the beaten path because it's not like a family movie per se, although I guess it kind of is because he's like rescuing his dad and they very much deal with unresolved parental issues and stuff like that. And there's the flashback to when he was a kid. But that was the big thing that occurred to me, was that like the River Phoenix flashback in which Indy is, you know, 12 or 15 or whatever it is, and he gets the hat for the first time by trying to foil that random jerk who I assume probably was supposed to be set up as the big bad of the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. You know, in that sequence, he finds himself kind of riding the rails so that he can show down with, among other things, a lion and some, you know, grave robbers and all kinds of craziness. And the movie itself kind of finds its way into a relatively normal Indiana Jones rhythm not too long after that. But that first sequence, it felt more kind of, you know, I used the term Amblin-y to talk about Deidre and Lainey in the Archie Digest podcast. That's kind of how that first chunk of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade felt. It felt very much like an E.T., Goonies, Flight of the Navigator kind of like 80s family kind of action comedy, you know, right up to the point where he goes in to talk to his dad about this kind of literally, you know, world-changing thing, and his dad, you know, makes him wait because he's got, you know, 30 seconds on the clock to read his book or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's kind of an odd choice because it's kind of, it's a segment of the movie that's a microcosm for the sensibility that I think Deidre and Lainey does a really good job of communicating. But
yeah.
The fact that Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is objectively a really good movie anyway, and it very much appeals to a similar audience as Deidre and Lainey in terms of, like, it's a PG-13 movie, but it's not, like, it leans towards the PG more than the 13. Like, it feels lighter than, you know, say, Temple of Doom or even Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. You know, there's a couple of sequences in Last Crusade that get pretty intense, but very much like Deidre and Lainey, for the most part, I think the presence of family and the presence of his dad, it both lends some weight and consequence to some things, but it also essentially promises you that everything's going to be okay, because you're not going to kill off Indiana Jones's dad. That would it would be a bridge too far. It'd be too much of a downer. And you're not going to kill off Indy while his dad is 6 feet away. And so it was this kind of weird, like, the nature of what they were doing in that film kind of gave them a lighter touch than the previous Indiana Jones movies and gave them more of a family feel and a family dynamic. And I think that is kind of the sensibility that carries over to between the two films, between Last Crusade and Deidre and Laney.
Yeah, definitely agreed. It's definitely, it's later Spielberg, not earlier.
Yeah.
It's where the walkie-talkies would be replaced with guns. The guns would be replaced with walkie-talkies, not the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I like that idea. I kind of want to go back through films and digitally add guns where people are just holding walkie-talkies.
They all just look utterly insane as they're ranting.
Why are they talking into their gun? What's going on?
Yeah. It's like Maxwell Smart with the shoe phone.
Yeah, but for the handgun, yeah. So confusing. But shall we go on to the next one?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think a really good comparison is, as we said, on surprisingly on many levels, is the movie Holes.
Yeah.
Starring the great Shia LaBeouf. As Stanley, not only because there's a cast coincidence, which we'll get into, but it's another one of those. Holes was a later film that like kind of was, obviously it was a 2003, so far too late for us to really consider it any part of our generation because we were 22, 23, 24.
Yeah, although I was dating somebody who was like 4 years younger than us at that time, and she was very, like, she took to Holes in the way that a lot of, like, 20-somethings are now taking to, like, YA fiction. And so I saw that between my ex-girlfriend really loving it and then the video store where, like, we constantly had PG new releases on the TVs. Like, I probably have seen Holes, I won't say more times than anything on this list, because when I was a little kid, I was obsessed with Indiana Jones, but probably neck and neck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Holes, give a little bit older, a little bit age, more age, because obviously came out as a very, very, very popular book a couple of years beforehand.
Yeah.
That was a really, really huge bestseller. I was working at Barnes & Noble, so I know, and I think it was actually like one of those required reading books as well. A lot of parallels to Deidre and Laney, a bunch of kids that are, we haven't had a railroad metaphor yet, so, in the wrong, basically kids that were literally and figuratively, and actually, I believe there was actually a railroad scene in this one, that were on the wrong side of the tracks. Obviously these Holes is basically about a work camp for kids that have been, caught doing things, and the main character, the main character played by Shia LaBeouf. I don't know if he'd be this like breakout role. I think it was one of his bigger.
I think that's it. I mean,
roles.
It's because his breakout role was on, what was it, Even Stevens, the Disney Channel show. But I would say that in terms of turning him into kind of the global star that he became later, this was his breakout role, because there were a lot of folks who were very famous for popular like Disney Channel shows and things like that around this time who never managed to capitalize on that outside of like, kids television in the way that LaBeouf did. You look at, say, Hilary Duff, who, as much as I love her in War, Inc., she never really stopped being Lizzie McGuire.
I'm looking at his roles in 2003. Everything beforehand was, an episode or two of TV and, Caroline in the City and TV movies and stuff like that.
I'm not going to hate on the Battle of Shaker Heights, though.
No, but that's what I'm saying is that, 2003 was Holes. And then he went on to basically, I'll ignore Dumb and Dumberer when Harry met Lloyd, and skip right to, I won't discredit him for that. went on to Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle, which, you know, that was a big franchise.
Yeah.
And then on to Battle of Shaker Heights, and iRobot, and Constantine, and you know, and then a mix of indie films and Transformers sequels. it's actually kind of, because he's, you know, he's kind of gone off onto this different world now, but it's actually like, I remember I actually really used to like Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
I actually liked him in Constantine. I really liked him in A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints.
Yeah.
Saints, and
yeah, I mean, there was a stretch of time where he was kind of certifiably the next big thing. You know, he hadn't really done anything to super alienate himself from people. You know, even, you know, you look at something like Transformers, which I had no use for, but it still made $1 billion. So somebody clearly was digging what he was doing. And it was like, ironically enough, I think it was Indiana Jones that marked the point of demarcation where it started to be okay.
Yeah, yeah. You pretty much can look at his career from there, and it's like, yeah. But, you know, I mean, he was it looked like what he was going to be, you know, God, I don't want to say a River Phoenix or something like that, but like a young actor that could actually walk the indie, you know,
yeah,
do an indie film and then do a blockbuster and then go back and forth, which is definitely what he's trying to do now. I don't even know if he's trying to do blockbuster stuff anymore, per se. I'm not quite sure if he could or not, but, you know, I mean, he's doing things like, you know, he did Fury, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
Him. Oh, my God, I forgot he was in Nymphomaniac, which I haven't seen. But anyway, going off on that Shia LaBeouf tangent.
Yeah. Point is, Holes is good.
Yeah, Holes is great. And again, it has a lot of the, you know, basically young kids outsmarting. The main idea with Holes was young kids outsmarting their, you know, their supposed older betters, and basically figuring out how to not just outsmart them, but, you know, also like completely make fools out of them. And also there is also the comparison of Tim Blake Nelson, who basically plays almost the same exact character.
Yeah.
In both of these films, where he plays a, you know, he's not really a security guard in it, but he plays a kind of a guy who thinks he's much, much smarter than he really is, and then gets shown up by people a third or fourth his age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is the point in the show where usually we're like, yeah, we got a couple of things that kind of sort of fit, which is basically what we're doing here. Last night we talked about The Goonies being another example, and you kind of quickly backed off of it because it's a little bit more, like, fantastical than Deidre and Lainey is.
Yeah.
You know, the one really fantastical thing about Deidre and Lainey that we talked about last night was kind of the internal logic of the movie, where, you know, I'm not sure that the resolution holds up under any kind of serious scrutiny, but you don't really care about that because the storytelling is so satisfying.
Yeah.
But I think Goonies is definitely worth a mention. I mean, it's a Richard Donner film. He's the guy who directed Lethal Weapon and Superman the movie. This is clearly a dude who knows how to tell kind of all-ages adventure stories across the board. And Goonies probably, it's funny because you talk about some of the big blockbusters he's done, but probably Goonies is the one that you know, has the highest Rotten Tomatoes audience score, so to speak. Like, probably the biggest crowd pleaser he's ever done, or the thing that everybody the most would want to go back and rewatch.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of roll three things in here because we got to the point we really wanted to talk about those three, and then we had a handful of other ideas that kind of fit, mostly fit, kind of, sort of. Another one that we talked about, which I mentioned earlier, is Josie and the Pussycats, the 2001 movie adaptation of the Archie comics series. This fits a lot because, hey, we're welcoming, theoretically, some new listeners from the Archie Digest podcast. And you guys all know who Josie and the Pussycats are. It's a girl band in the context of the 2001 movie. They essentially find themselves up against an evil record company. And that's the big difference between what you see on Riverdale, where Ashley Murray plays Josie, and the movie and the cartoon series and all that kind of stuff, and even the comic books right now, is that in other iterations of Josie and the Pussycats, they had, like, wacky adventures. Like, it was never just about the music. It was always, like, we just want to go have a concert, but no, there's a diamond heist, and we've got to stop them because reasons, you know? And so... You get, with Josie and the Pussycats, it's definitely a much more stylized world than Deidre and Lainey Rabbitrain. You know, Deidre and Lainey Rabbitrain, other than having that kind of, like, kids adventure, family adventure movie sensibility, it's very much grounded in the real world. It looks like the real world. It's not even as stylized as, like, something like Riverdale, where, you know, the colors and the music and all that are very moody. So Josie and the Pussycats is not a perfect fit. But Missy Pyle, who plays Alexander Cabot in Josie and the Pussycats and has possibly my favorite line in the movie, it is one of the teachers in Deidre and Lainey Rabbitrain. And I kind of felt like, you know, that's just a perfect, like, this was our first movie that we talked about on the Emerald City Video Podcast, movie that I'm a big, big fan of. And it's got Josie in it. It's got Missy Pyle in it. Let's just throw that on the list. And anybody who's listening to this, if you're a fan of Riverdale or if you're a fan of Archie and you're coming over to us from that and you haven't seen the 2001 Josie and the Pussycats movie, run and do it. I can tell you at a bare minimum, it has the seal of approval of all of the hosts of both Emerald City Video Podcast and Archie Digest or Riverdale Podcast. Also, at least Haley Law, who plays Valerie, one of the Pussycats on Riverdale, is a big, big fan of this movie. So... lots of people telling you should do that. The last one, though, and this is actually it's a little bit different, it's a little bit of a change of pace from some of the other things that we recommended, but I feel like it really fits nicely just in terms of the tone and the humor and things, is the Hudsucker Proxy.
Yeah.
Once again, I believe Tim Blake Nelson is in the Hudsucker Proxy. I could be wrong, but I have, like, an image of him in my head, which I think is from that film. The main character of the movie is Tim Robbins, who is one of our favorite actors, also one of our favorite writer-directors. He did movies like Dead Man Walking, Bob Roberts, and Cradle of Rock. In this movie, he plays essentially like a local gomer from Indiana who goes to New York City and inadvertently finds himself promoted to be the head of a major corporation. What he doesn't know is that this has not happened because they really like him. This has happened because they're trying to depress the stock price so that some stockholders can buy the company out. Unfortunately for them, his kind of simple wisdom ends up making the company wildly successful. And there's this kind of weird comical power struggle that's happening largely totally without his awareness. In the company that he ostensibly runs. And it, to me, just like it, if you told me, you know, if you came into the video store and you were renting Deidre and Lainey Rabbitrain and the Hudsucker Proxy, I'd be like, that's a perfect fit. Like, that's a great, like, you know, dinner and dessert kind of thing. And again, it's not kids. It's not particularly socially relevant or smart outside of a handful of barbs about kind of the dangers of capitalism, but it very much kind of fits into that same quasi-believable, semi-stylized, like it feels very much like the filmmakers would have had a similar intent and a similar sense of humor to what you get with Deidre and Lainey Rabbitrain.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the Raising Arizona. It's the Coen Brothers world. Mm-hmm. That this film does. You know, it has a just enough of a different take on it that it doesn't feel like the director of Deidre Adlani was trying to copy it.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But it definitely, you know, to me it has that sensibility again where you have, I mean, it's where there are smart people who are established as they're supposed to be smart people, whether they're teachers, guidance counselors, officers of the law, mm-hmm. and then you have the dope who actually, whether it actually is, you know, and Deidre is actually brilliant. Mm-hmm. She is a brilliant person in the film, but she's a kid, and you know, and again, it doesn't that weirdly again, which is awesome. Her race doesn't play in the film that much at all, really. I'll have to watch it again to see if they ever really mention.
Yeah, I don't think it's overtly referenced at all. No, I think.
Yeah, but it's whether you're watching it and that's, you know, definitely considering, you know, Tim Blake Nelson, the cop, mm-hmm. or the officer in it is white, and so, you know, it's there in your headspace or whatever, but, you know, she's not supposed to be a brilliant person, but, you know, she's brilliant and is able to outsmart everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you have, you know, Tim Robbins in this film, in Hubsucker Proxy, who, you know.
Yeah, kind of bumbles so back with Although, to be fair, a lot of that, he's kind of guided through a chunk of it by Jennifer Jason Leigh's character, who is both legitimately smart and very feminist. She would kind of, like, Jennifer Jason Leigh's character, if it wasn't overtly in the 1930s and she wasn't, like, a caricature of, like, a Lois Lane figure, she probably would fit very nicely into the world of Deidre and Lainey Rabatrain more easily than anybody else in the Hudsucker Proxy.
You know, for kids.
Exactly. Anyway. Exactly. That's going to be our episode title.
You know, for kids.
But yeah, that's our spiel on this. And again, sometimes we're a little bit more structured. Sometimes we're a little bit less structured. With a 5 for 5, typically we'll just kind of wrap up by saying like, yeah, this is a film that we really enjoyed. It's a film that we would recommend highly. And if you dug the movies that we've just been talking about, you're probably going to really enjoy Deidre and Lainey Rabatrain. If you enjoyed Deidre and Lainey Rabatrain and you haven't seen any one of the 6 movies that we just recommended on our 5 for 5, I would say any one of them is worth checking out. I would say the vast majority of them are probably streaming somewhere. I didn't do my due diligence to actually make sure that's true, but certainly,
I feel like also all of these films, you know, Raising Arizona, Goonies, I mean, I guess Holes would be a little bit weirder if you don't have kids, I suppose. But these are all films you can own. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, these are films that if you like, especially if you like film, if you're a movie person,
mm-hmm.
like, these are films that are just in your catalog. I'm also pretty sure you probably can buy the DVD for $5, you know?
Because, oh, yeah.
Like, Raising Arizona has come out with, you know, like, all the Coen Brothers films come out usually in, like, 25 different editions, and, you know, in Goonies, I'm sure, you know, they've got like 85,000 copies of it printed at this point. You know,
yeah. The one that
different copies of it. But
a few years ago, Warner Brothers sent me one that was like the 25th anniversary edition or something like that. Yeah. It was like this gorgeous, gigantic box. It was the first time they ever released it on Blu-ray. It came with like a board game inside and some like lobby card, postcard things, and a digital copy and all kinds of. And that was retailing for like $100, I think, at the time. And I think the last time I saw that, it doesn't have the board game in it anymore, but all the special features are still there. The movie is still there. The digital copy is still there. The packaging is still nice and slick, and it's down to like
$12.99. Yeah. Well, you can buy a DVD copy of it for $6, on Prime. So you can get it, if you order it. This won't go live today. Order it right now. You can get it by Sunday.
it'll probably go live today. It'll probably go, because I mean, Emerald City, pulling back the curtain a little bit. No pun intended. But pulling back the curtain a little bit. for anybody who's listening, who, as I said, came in from Archie Digest, Emerald City Video isn't quite as structured or as tightly edited as Archie Digest. We don't have as many people listening. We don't have K-Site kind of breathing down our neck to make sure that there's quality control. It's like a bunch of guys who want to talk about movies. And we do so, and then I go through and make sure that you can't hear too much coughing. That's pretty much the size of it. But yeah, right now I'm feeling kind of cruddy. So there's a possibility this might not make it up tonight, but in all likelihood, I'll just slap an introduction on it and send it out into the universe where we all can talk about buying copies of Goonies.
Yeah.
But, all right, Zach, any final thoughts? Do you want to share with the audience what you do, who you are, and where they can find you when you're not talking about movies and video stores and robbing trains?
Well, currently I'm in an undisclosed location. You can find my photo work. I'm usually working as a photojournalist when I can find people who pay for it at zdroberts.com. You can follow my podcast, which is deeply political, at zdroberts.podbean.com. It's called Insurgency USA. It's on all the, I believe it's on most all the different networks or whatever download services that you can do. I'm an editor over at themudflats.net. I work for Greg Palast, and if you want to watch a pretty decent documentary film, which is fun, it's got Rosario. It's actually a tie into this.
There you go.
One of the somebody from Josie and the Pussycats in it. Rosario Dawson and Ed Asner and Willie Nelson. I feel like there's at least one more person. It's got those three people in it, which should be enough to watch any film.
Yeah, pretty much.
Documentary. It's called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And you can get it on Vimeo or on Amazon, or go to gregpalast.com and donate some money for it. So I get my work paid for.
There you go. And I'm Russ Burlingame. You can find me on Twitter at Russ Burlingame, RussBurlingame. That's really long, and I'm not going to repeat it. So if you didn't get that first time, it's at @ECV_podcast. You can follow the Emerald City Video Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook, and my verified accounts as a professional entertainment journalist. Pretty much if you do that, I'm going to be spending most of my time talking about how much you should be watching Riverdale anyway. So, yeah, if you came over here from that show, then bonus for you. Anybody else, if you don't like Riverdale, what the hell's wrong with you? Really? What are you doing with your life? But thanks so much for listening, folks. We are going to be back soon. Zach and I plan to look at another Riverdale-themed movie next week, because Netflix is providing in abundance, apparently. And maybe depending on how
firing everybody from the CW, from this show at this point, so it works.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they're done with production right now. I can recommend three or four actors from the show that deserve more work. Somebody needs to hire Trevor Steins so he gets to deliver a line on camera, because being like Jason Blossom and kind of hanging out and looking creepy is. I mean, it's fun and all, and I'm sure it pays the bills, but, it's a pretty smart dude. I'm sure he can probably say something for the camera. So, but yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Check out the Archie Digest podcast. If you're a listener to Emerald City Video and you've been sitting there going, why the hell is he talking about everybody else coming over from that other show? Yeah, you go over there and check them out too, because that's a lot of fun. ArchieDigest.podbean.com or on Twitter, or on iTunes, sorry. On Twitter, you can follow Riverdale TV, which is the K-Site Riverdale kind of imprint, which then will update you on all the Archie Digest episodes and all that good stuff. But thanks very much for listening. As I said, Zach and I will be here next week. New episode with the full cast and alcohol and all that good stuff coming up very soon. We're just working out schedules. And Yeah, just a little tease of what we're thinking about. I'm thinking that we're going to look at Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. There's nothing bad that can come from, a bunch of people sitting around drinking heavily and watching that movie.
Most certainly.
So, and according to the movie poster that is literally 6 feet from me as I walk around my basement, it's available on video cassette and also available on Laserdisc. So you guys keep your eyes peeled for that. And thanks very much. Thanks for listening to Emerald City Video, a podcast about, you got it.
Wow.
What?
You got a dad?